Okay, welcome to the Step 12 service meeting. My name is Arlene. I'm a compulsive overeater and a restrictor, and your speaker for this meeting. Hi. Please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Before we get started, we ask that all cell phones or other electronic devices be turned off. Don't take my picture. To protect anonymity, no photography, audio, or visual recording is allowed except as recorded by the committee. Please be aware if you're speaking or sharing and say your first name, your voice will be audible on the recording and you must sign a release. Am I supposed to read all that? The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. Would somebody please read the 12 steps of OA? So that would mean coming up there. Let's see where that is. Okay. That would be good.
Step one.
Yeah. Go ahead. I don't know where they are.
Not that good.
Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power, come back here, power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three,
made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. The format for this 55-minute session is as follows. I will share for 10 to 15 minutes on the topic, followed by open sharing. Again, the topic for this session is Step 12, service. I will now share my experience, strength, and hope on this topic. So, again, my name is Arlene. I'm a compulsive overeater and a restrictor. And I'm happy to be here. Having a great time at the birthday party. And that's one way that I can be of service. And to say yes here is another way to be of service. I've been in the program for 27 years, and I didn't always do service. When I started, I would come as if I was watching a play and think, wow, you know. And I didn't participate in my own recovery very much in the beginning. And the more I got comfortable, the more I started to really say yes. And yes is an extremely powerful word, you know, so much more than no or like sneaking away, just showing up for my own recovery. So, you know, I'm going to be the secretary of the biggest meeting in LA, and I also have prepared the coffee for that meeting, and I also clean up at that meeting, and I'm just always of service. If I'm stepping in tonight at the last minute, I mean, I just need to say yes. And it doesn't matter what I feel like doing often. It's just, what am I going to do? So service has been a really big part, actually, of my program. There are certain things I still resist doing because I've done them and I didn't like it. So I'm like, no, somebody else. I do think it's important to have rotation of services because a lot of the same people just keep doing all the work. And we like to be front and center a lot of times, too. So we do that. But I think it's critical that other people step up because it helps our, oh, my gosh, it helps our recovery. Was that me? Anyway, I'll be the timer and the, that's why I didn't want to do it. I get it. Anyway, being of service helps me to get to know my fellows because sometimes, you know, the other tools like the million-pound phone, which just gets heavier the more I don't pick it up. It gets heavier each year. I can't always do that. So when I'm of service, I get to talk to you, listen to you, meet you, clean up with other people, get annoyed with other people, you know, just really be in the flow of life in this program, which is saving our lives, which is such a beautiful thing. So there are so many different levels to be of service, to sponsor, to be sponsored, because we're of service to our sponsors, even though we're sponsees. And then setting up the chairs, so many things that we just don't want to do that, you know, we just, someone has to do them, and we get to do them. I've yet to step up to be the birthday party chair, but I mean, last year I made the centerpieces for the dinner. What? I mean, I think of myself, well, I'm not a creator. I'm not going to make centerpieces. And they were awesome, and I'm so proud of them. And, you know, just saying yes, this is where I get to practice saying yes, actually. I've been in the play. What? You know, I practice letting go of perfectionism. That's the other thing. It's a very forgiving audience, OA. You know, we're just really loving and we're just doing our best here. So when I was in the play, I thought, oh my gosh, this is so chaotic. I don't want to be a part of this. Oh no, it's not perfect enough. It's not professional. No. We are not professionals, you know, and it's such a joy to be able to step up and do things and not have to be perfect and be appreciated by my fellows, get to know my fellows. I'm kind of repeating, but that's what service has been about for me. And not having to be up here and not being afraid to be down here. I mean, we're all equal in the fellowship. So whether I'm the secretary or I'm setting up the chairs or cleaning up or whatever it is, it's just showing up for my own recovery. And it's meant a great deal, and it's taken a long time. Like I said in the very beginning, it is not what I saw myself doing. I was like, what can I get, you know? And it teaches me, what can I bring? And I love that because it's just gotten into every other area of my life. You know, what can I bring to the flow of things? What can I do for others? Because in giving, I get. And, you know, I didn't get a lot of things growing up like a lot of us may or may not have, you know. And even when I had a child, I was just afraid because I thought I didn't have a role model. And in giving to my child, I received what I didn't get when I was a child. So it just sort of, I just get it across the board that me stepping up serves me tremendously. And, you know, in step 3 in the OA 12 and 12, it says, you know, we will no longer simply do what we feel like doing or what we think we can get away with. This is like one of my favorite quotes in the whole program. I think it's the program. It says, instead, we will earnestly seek to learn God's will for us, and we will act accordingly. You know, we give up fear and indecision, knowing that if we are sincere, our higher power will give us the knowledge of our best course in life, along with the willingness and ability to follow that course, even when it seems difficult and uncomfortable. And it only feels difficult and uncomfortable before I'm in it. You know, once I commit, so it's like they say we've made many attempts but never a decision. And once I make the decision and I say, yes, I will step up and for 6 months I will set up the chairs. Or yes, I will make the centerpieces for the birthday party. Wow. You know, yes, I will. And it puts me out there and it makes me go, okay, like 1 year I did the dinner dance and I said, we should have a comedian. And this is, keeps happening, but, and the comedian, you know, wasn't the best. He was a great comedian, but it wasn't really for this crowd. And I had to let it go. Or, you know, picking the speaker. Is this the perfect speaker? It's all my perfectionism. You know, the opening speaker talked about that. The conjoined twin. You know, her disease is conjoined twins with her perfectionism. I totally relate to that. And this just helps me to practice. Being of service is, they always say it's slimming. I don't know about that, but it really does, you know, help me to hear my fellows, be with them more in a social way. I can get over my fears of, you know, imperfection. The fear of imperfection and showing up and you seeing me, and I get to be seen and heard, and it's been really, really good for me to be of service, and it's grown, you know, just little by little by little. And now I can't believe it, but when new people speak, like when I was the cleanup person at Serenity Sunday, and people would step up to help me clean, and then when they would have abstinence, and it would go for months and months, and I would always feel like, talk about service. You know, you said yes to your recovery. You said yes right away. You stepped up. And I think it makes a huge, huge difference. And so I'm here pitching for service. I don't know what's going on with the time, but I'm going to stop there. So thank you. So now, okay, so I think that was like 10 minutes. So the topic, you could time, the topic for this session is, this is saying releasing judgment, it's service. Oh, it's service. Okay, sorry. So, the meeting is now open for 3-minute pitches. Please focus your share on the topic and limit your sharing to 3 minutes to give others a chance to share. And the meeting will end at 7:55. So, who would like to share? And would you come up to share? Great.
Hi, I'm Sophia, compulsive overeater and bulimic. Hi, Ray. Thank you so much for your share. Service. I was in here for step 4 and step 11, and then I went to a resentment workshop in between, and I was getting really kind of excited because I'm about to finish my 4th step in OA, I'm excited to, I've never moved past 4th step in this program. I have in others. And after many years. And so hearing about like, oh, the promises and that sort of thing. And like step 10, like working out your resentments every day, you know, to keep, you know, you from compulsive eating. Like that's really exciting. And I was sitting in here and thinking about that. And then I remembered like, okay, the promises are great. And not compulsive eating is great. But the point of the steps is to get to step 12 and to be of service to others and to pass the message on to those who are suffering. And last year around March, I was unemployed for, at that time, 11 months. And my OA sponsor suggested a new program. And I know that, you know, like, you know, they say if you're not in three, you're not being honest. It's like, now I'm in three, I'm being honest, you guys. I've joined two in the meantime. And but I was really stressed out about having one, joining one and knowing and feeling like I qualified for another but not ready to go there. And so I wrote to an advice columnist on a website that I read, and who it has been an AA, and he talks about it every once in a while. But it's, you know, so I emailed him to ask him a question about, like, what do I do? I'm working all this stuff and working on my steps, and it's just not moving fast enough, and I have all these goals, and I feel like they're never going to be reached if I don't complete the steps, and I'm just, you know, now if my sponsor wants me to join a new program, what do I do? And so he wrote back, and he published it on the website, and the first thing he wrote is, calm down, you know, take it easy. And then the next thing he said, which was really great, and because I had recovery, I could hear him, and it was, the point of the steps is not to achieve your goals. The point of the steps isn't to be, you know, like, thin or whatever it is that you have going on. The point of the steps is a 12th step, and it's to pass the message on. So if you can change your focus in working the steps to working for others, then everything else falls in line. Everything else is a bonus. Weight loss is a bonus. Getting my dream job and being able to stick in my dream job is a bonus. The point is to be of service. And I wrote him an email back, and I thanked him. And he was surprised that I accepted that so easily, because he was basically saying, like, no, 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 you're wrong. This is the point. And he was absolutely right. And that is, I've never worked the 12 steps in any of my programs, but I'm excited to get there, because if I can just focus on being of service. And so how I do that is, I've only been a sponsor once, and my sponsor kind of, like, we're friends and everything, but she kind of went away. And but I try to, is that my time? Okay, I'll wrap it up. I try to bring service into my life every day, whether it's in program or out. So at my job, it's a very scary job, but my boss is also a fellow. So when she asks me to do something that I don't feel comfortable doing, the only way I can do it is because I'm of service to her. It's not about me and my ego. It's about helping her. And my life has gotten so much better since writing that letter and getting perspective and focusing my life and my life's purpose on the service. And whatever bonus I get, it's just, I guess, not the right program, but icing on the cake. So thank you.
To try to make this long story short, not my specialty. My name is Janine. I'm a compulsive reader. The story starts in the Rocky Mountains a couple of summers ago, when I went with joined a group for a mountaineering trip, and it turns out I was way out of my depth. It was much more technical and complicated than I'd expected. I was very fearful. I realized if I wasn't careful, I would be paralyzed with fear. And I had to, this was a trip where you're going from one hut to another, and you can't turn back or decide not to go. You had to move on because the group was moving on. And I've got fear here. I've got to work my program. And I started trying to hand this over to God. And whenever I was fearful, I'd go back to that, and over again, I'd be saying the same, singing the same prayers, and that I was letting go of that and living, enjoying the moment. But I also wondered, like, what do I do? This group was very helpful. They were patient. They were carrying some of my stuff, because I would have slowed them down otherwise. What can I do for this group? And I started doing simple things, like little tasks that would help the group in the hut, getting water, et cetera, et cetera. And that trip was just incredible. I thought it was a great group experience, and I haven't had many of those because I've been such an isolator. But by the end of the trip, like, I didn't want it to end. I had to go back to real life, which I did, and I think life just sort of flattened out for a while. And then the next few months later, someone came into town to do a workshop on how to inject new life into your program, and she talked about a lot of things. I came away with one, which was something I'd always avoided doing, which was phoning, reaching out to people, because it's something I've always, like I said, been an isolator. And so I started doing that, committed to my sponsor that I would, and something really weird started happening. That mountaintop high I had in the mountains, I was getting it again back home. I live in the prairie town, very flat. It's like, what is this? And it was the same, really that same feeling, the same high. And I compared the two situations to try to find the commonalities, and it was incredible. I was in both situations. I was facing my fears because I was always afraid of phoning others. I would avoid that like the plague. So I was facing my fears and trusting God and trying to help others. And that's when, while I was doing that, my program was, it was just incredible. And then things got busy. I went down again and it flattened out. But I got an aha moment this morning when during the Freedom from Fear workshop, and there's a fear that I've been living with and giving away and taking back, I'll wrap it up, constantly in the past months. And I realized this morning, yeah, I need to remember that lesson that I got. I need to face that fear rather than just face the fear and move on. And, that was, now it's about fear. I started out on service, so anyways, thank you. Oh, yes.
I forgot to say that whoever speaks needs to sign this paper for release because they're recording. Did you want to share?
I'm Diane, a grateful member of OA. And this is a great topic. I never forget a woman shared on a CD. I used to keep CDs in my car rolling because it was just such a great way to get reminded while I'm out in the world. And she talked about how she lived in a small town somewhere in the middle of America, and she would show up for the meeting. She'd set out the literature. She'd set up the chairs. She'd, open the bathrooms, do all this stuff. And then, she'd look at her clock and she'd read the format and do the whole thing. And nobody ever came to her meeting, but she was always set up. She was always set up. And I'm always forever grateful when I look at our meeting directory and we have, 40 to 50 meetings with lots of people. And, but that was her commitment to service, was like, if somebody shows up, we're here, And I just am so touched and moved by that gesture. What I also heard on those CDs from a lot of long-timers is that they came into program, and we all remember what it's like being a newcomer and coming in that door and just thinking, this is the worst place that I could end up, but I got nothing else, and, all of that, and you sit in the back and you leave early and all that. But so many of them shared about how leaving early, somebody would follow them out to the hallway, or somebody would follow them out to the parking lot and say that one thing that kept them coming back. And so I feel an obligation to do that. I'll go talk to somebody that's kind of squirrely in the back or, whatever, because if it's one thing that keeps them coming back, that to me is one of the biggest ways to serve. Also, I try to go to the newcomer part of the meeting just to kind of have bodies there. So it looks like, I'm here to catch you, like if they want to go to leave early, And I know that was me for sure. But I'm really impressed. I got to say, you guys, I'm from Orange County, and I don't know if anybody's seen that new movie, Her. It's kind of interesting. I know it's an outside topic, but it talks about how their electronic partner, like Siri, becomes so highly intelligent that all the Siris run off to, higher consciousness because they accelerated so fast. And I was just thinking tonight in the last session, which was on step 11, that some of my experience today with the recovery I'm feeling in L.A. is that you guys have taken off onto a kind of a super sped up consciousness, it's really great. Oh my God. So I'm really enjoying the recovery I'm hearing here today. And, everybody that has shared has had a lot of, realizations, and they're accelerating in their consciousness, and it's very exciting. Thank you.
Hey everybody, I'm Carrie, compulsive overeater. This thing doesn't make noise, so I don't need to. Okay. Oh, okay. It's good to see everybody here. Good to be in a thing about service. Thank you for your service. I'm I don't always come to the conference. When I was a newcomer, I would come, and it was very overwhelming. And I actually almost binged after going to a bunch of meetings because I was taking in so much new information that I just couldn't handle it. And, you know, that was one of the first times I learned that, you know, that recovery takes energy, and that, you know, I was just talking to my sponsor about, like, processing emotions takes energy, and it can make me tired. And, you know, when I was a newcomer, I needed to sleep a lot. And I was struck by, you know, being here again and being completely on the receiving end, that I'm not speaking anywhere here this weekend. It's just me getting to absorb. And my brain feels like a happy little sponge. And I, you know, I have the wisdom to take breaks and to rest and to allow my brain to soak in this information. And, you know, I can feel that coming out of here, first of all, I went to my car to just rest for a little while between meetings, and my brain was so quiet. It was, you know, my favorite form of meditation has always been to be in a meeting and to listen to you all, because it gets me out of my brain. And going to the car, I could feel the effect of all those hours of meditation on my brain, that it was just so quiet, and I could hear the birds and I could hear the cars, and feeling very peaceful. And I could you know, text someone I was having problems with and be kind and gentle and generous, instead of like, how are you going to give this to me? And what am I? You know, I felt instantly, just from the service I was receiving, you know, the shift in my perception and consciousness and ability to act kindly and sanely. And, you know, I also met my sponsor here and gave away some step work to her. And, you know, she just had a family member pass a day and a half ago. And that in that moment, that she would be willing to be of service, and is it's a reminder of the power of service, that in times of suffering, sometimes the best thing to do is to go out and be of service, instead of having to deal with whatever I'm actually dealing with. You know, I went to this... I live in South LA now, and there aren't many meetings there. And I know I need to start meetings there, but I'm not ready to do that right now. And I went to an AA meeting there, just because I go to open AA meetings as part of my OA recovery, like our founders did. And excuse me. And in that meeting, you know, I happened to talk to one woman after the meeting, and I told her that I was there. I was in OA, but I was there just because. And I'll wrap up. And she said, oh, that's what I'm looking for. I have a problem with food. I was like, all right, God, thanks. So thanks for letting me do the service.
Who would like to share? Come along, kidlet.
Hi, thank you so much. I don't think I want to say my name, but I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for your service. Thank you for all your courage. Service to God, myself, and others. In a lifeline I read about the golden rule, treat others as I would like to be treated. The silver rule, treat myself as I would treat others, because I'm equally important. And the iron rule, I do not do for anyone else what they can do for themselves. I also remember in a lifeline, it talks about the first few months of Bill W.'s sobriety, when he was really frustrated. Like, he was working with all these other alcoholics, and like, none of them were getting sober. And Lois said, I know one of the drunks who stayed sober. And he was like, who? And he said, you. Or she said, you. He stayed sober by working with other alcoholics. Service is a balance for me, because I can use My primary like way that I hurt myself with food is restricting, and so I can, it's a way I forget that my body is my responsibility. It's like a car that I have been trusted with the keys and a license to from my higher power, and it is my responsibility. And so I can get into a place of compulsively doing for others and not nourishing myself and not sleeping, not resting, and then I can't. Like, I legitimately burn out. So I'm learning my 1, 2, 3 again. My higher power, myself, then others, and then it works. Then it flows, and then I can drive. If I'm drinking water, if I'm sleeping, then I can speak the words that my higher power might want to deliver to someone else, and I can hear, I can sit and be a witness to someone, not their higher power, but just a person showing up without an agenda. And when I have prayed, meditated, and kept my food plan, then there's like space where I can remember, oh, that person shared that she was having a really hard time. Huh. I've nourished myself. I can text her and see, like, how are you doing? When I've got my priorities in order. Thank you for letting me share.
Hi, my name is Phil, compulsive reader. Thank you there, Arlene, for sharing there. And I just raised my hand up immediately as soon as you looked at me, so I have no idea what I'm going to say, right? No, but let's see, the topic is on what? Step 12, service as a principle. And that's a good principle for me to fall back upon. There's a story in the big book, in the back of the big book, called Gutter Bravado. I don't know if you guys ever read that story. And in there, there's a statement in there that talks about how, you know, like recovery is not a destination, it's a journey. And for me, joining Overeaters Anonymous has truly been quite a journey for me. I first got into OA back in, November of 1989, and it's just been such a blessing. My very first meeting, it was a Thursday noon in Sacramento, California, and I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I was advised by a therapist to join OA and go to 3 meetings a week because I kept talking a lot about food in group therapy sessions. So I guess I must have had some issues with food, right? So I go to my first meeting, and there was a handful of people there. It was downtown Sacramento at a state building, and I thought it was a dive club. I figure, you know, I'll just try to figure out what they're talking about. And there was a lady who talked about, you know, having struggles with sugar. She was having problems with the cool and creamy, right? And just when the secretary was ready to close the meeting, I blurted out, "Hey, lady, why don't you switch over to yogurt? Maybe you'll lose some weight." So that was my first stint at trying to be of service in Overeaters Anonymous. But what I come to find out is that we have the 12 steps, and what makes the 12 steps so important is that this is not a diet club. And so what I've come to understand is that it is so true that recovery in Overeaters Anonymous is a journey. And, we can lose a lot of weight here and there and be on our way out. But it's been such a journey for me, and I feel so at home in OA. You know, I could be in a room of fellow members, in a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous and just so feel so much love and acceptance, you know, in this program, and just feel so comfortable and just do what I can to be of maximum service, just to carry the message, just to let people know that it works. So thank you for being here.
Would you like to share? You just walked in, but we're talking about service. Anybody? Thank you. Thank you.
Sounds like you're recruiting.
Come along. If I must, I must.
If you must, because you said, who wants to recover?
Yes.
So that sounds... I'm Greg, a compulsive eater. And I just walked in, so I missed your share, but I'm sure it was wonderful. It was probably the best one. I can't believe I missed it. Anyway, I'm Greg, compulsive eater from Phoenix. And hi. As far as service, I remember the first time I did service. I've been in OA since the summer of 2006, abstinent since December of 2008, keeping off about 50 pounds. And I went to a retreat as a guest or whatever, as an attendee, and somebody said you should do service, and they asked me to sell water bottles. And I looked at them and said, water bottles? If you're not going to ask me to be the president of this retreat, I certainly don't want to sell water bottles. I mean, I have this type of education and background and all this stuff. Selling water bottles is not for something, is not something that I do, right? Well, I did sell water bottles. I was pretty good at it, I think, too. It also helped that it was very hot out. I think that was probably the biggest cause of the success of the water bottle sales. But that started my service career. And this woman that asked me, she passed away this maybe about 6 months ago in Phoenix. And she was instrumental in my recovery. That's one of the milestones, I would say, when I did my first service position. And since then, I have... done all sorts of stuff. I'm on the intergroup board, the webmaster, all sorts of things. But really what service is teaching me is humility and anonymity. And not letting my ego get in the way. For instance, practical examples, I'm the webmaster, okay, but you won't find my name anywhere there. Even on the intergroup stuff, we try to keep it as anonymous as possible. I find that really helps my recovery, because when I came in, I really thought I should be appointed in some executive position of the organization. So that, I think, is important for my recovery, is to remember that in OA, what I've been taught is it's an upside-down pyramid, where the individual is on the... I think I've got this right. If I'm mistaken, let me know. The individual is on the top, and then the groups, and then filtering all the way down to the world service bodies and the trustees, as opposed to the other way in business, where you have the employees down here, and then all the way up to the president. And I thought every organization should be that way. But in OA, it's the exact opposite, which means that I am just as important as you are in a meeting, and you are, and you are, and you are. And then the power, if you will, or whatever... for lack of a better term, actually the power comes from God, but I think you know what I mean, flows the other direction, flows up instead of down. And that took me a while to learn. So that's my impression of service and what it relates in my recovery. And not only that, I meet a lot of nice people that I wouldn't meet just sitting in my one little meeting across the street. And I consider coming to this thing service. It's pretty good. Anyway, I'll pass.
Hi, I'm Judy. I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi. And I am sorry, too, that we just got here. But I was so inspired by the last speaker, I thought I must have something to share. Actually, I first started OA down in San Pedro. I now live in Palm Springs, but my first service position was literature for my meeting down there. And I used to drive up here to Roseanne's kitchen, and I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. Her kitchen was just full of boxes with flyers and, you know, things to distribute and books and blah, blah. And I used to drive up here to get all the stuff and take it back to our meeting. I guess the thing that I learned was that you never refuse an OA request, which is really important. A lady this morning asked me if I would speak on a Saturday morning at 8 o'clock in Cucamonga, which is right between here and Palm Springs. And I said, of course, you know. So, you do what's asked. And you never know the surprises that might come, you know. I've worked with people that I thought, you know, what's in it for me? You know, what am I going to get out of this? And you learn great lessons from people who are different than you are, you know, and things you might not have chosen. For a long time during my recovery, I also worked as a professional in the treatment field and as a lecturer and blah, blah, blah. So I had a lot of considerations about would I be doing therapy for free as an OA sponsor, and should I speak here if I'm blah, blah, blah. And I had to work through all of that with my sponsor. You know, you always consult another OA person. What are your motives? And very often my motives are not the wonderful, cute ones that I think they are. And the sponsor I have today always says to me, well, you're not going to like hearing this, but you called me, you know. And my first sponsor used to say, well, dear, and I always knew if it was preceded by a well, dear, there'd be a, you know. But that's how I learned and grew in these rooms. And I'm extremely grateful for all those surprises. And like that man was saying, a lot of times I was told, you know, just you being at a meeting is doing service, because what if a new person or any person came in and there'd be nobody there? And your sharing is giving service, because someone might hear it from you and they wouldn't hear it from another person, you know? So we never know who our Eskimos are. You know, that OA story, AA story, actually about the Eskimo. I'll just tell it quickly and then I'll stop, but a guy's at a bar and he's drinking and he's telling another guy, oh, I tried that AA stuff, but it is total crap. He said once, that higher power stuff. He said, once I was caught in the middle of a blizzard and I was screaming, God, God, help me. I'll finally believe in God if someone will get me out of this situation. And he says, God didn't help me at all. And he says, well, you're here. He said, yeah, some Eskimo came along and showed me the way. So that's what we say in these rooms, that different people are Eskimos. So you don't have to believe in God, just believe in Eskimos. Thank you.
Oh, sure.
Hi, I'm Lauren, and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater and anorexic. Hi. Well, I'm a newbie, so I feel a little, unworthy to be up here. But I wasn't going to come tonight. You know, I paid. I registered for all 3 days, and I'm here. being of service, timing. I want to cry already. I just feel vulnerable. This week I was of service to my mother, who could also be in this program and dealing with a lot of health issues. And, you know, it affected my exercise quota. And I'm so grateful that I was there for her, though. And being here tonight also affected my exercise quota. And I'm so grateful that I'm here. And I just see that I want to let go and be of service first to myself by giving myself what I need besides, you know, besides what my disease thinks I need or wants me to need. And I want to be of service to others. I want to work the steps. I want to work this program. You know, I want to be sponsor already, and it's like, well, first you need to call your own. So, I don't know. Thank you for listening. And I am secretary at 2 meetings, and though I haven't worked the steps, you know, I wasn't going to come tonight, and it just showed me, wow, thank God I'm secretary, because I might not even be going to meetings at all. But, you know, going to those 2 meetings a week, I make room for other meetings, because I know that right now, the anorexic voices have been really loud, and I don't want to be overweight as a compulsive overeater and crazy and, you know, all about the food, and I don't want to be underweight and anorexic and still crazy about the food and in pain, and in pain either way. I want balance and a life of service to God, because it's only God. So thank you.
I so didn't want to do this, and I like talking, that I don't want to have to sign my name. My name is Nikki. I'm from San Diego. I'm a persistent grazer and an overeater. I'm in program, I believe it's 8 years and 10 months and a few days here and there, and I was very lucky. I became abstinent the first day I came in, because I heard two things that really made a difference in my life, even though I thought you were all neurotic and losers. I heard that a meal had a beginning and an end, and I didn't know that. Didn't know anybody who did that. And the second thing I heard is that people who worked this program had a better life than they could have designed for themselves. And I had a pretty good life at the time, but better was better. You know, I have a disease of more. Why wouldn't I want more better? Well, when I heard about service, for some reason to me it sounded like a religious idea. And I heard this wasn't a religious program, so I was really anti-service until somebody told me I could move a chair and I'd be of service, or if I came to a meeting so there'd be somebody at the meeting, I could be of service. So I have done a ton of service, maybe not as much as other people, but I do a lot of sponsoring. I started a meeting because my higher power wouldn't get out of my head. And that meeting I decided needed to be closed because it was really so small. There were 3 of us. And I spoke to both people, and they said, yeah, we'll close it. But we decided to have a meeting to have a vote. And the next thing I know, they said, well, maybe we're being a little premature. And we waited another 2 months, and it didn't get any better. We decided we were going to close it. And I got a phone call from a lady who said, when is your meeting starting? And I said, well, it's been going on a year, and it's not really doing very well. And she says, well, in the directory it says it's starting in January, and I live downtown, and it takes me 2 hours to get to the other meeting, and I'll commit to be there every week. So my meeting's going on. A newcomer showed up 2 weeks ago and has stayed in program, has a sponsor already, has called me twice. I don't get it. I just don't get it. I take phone calls, I make phone calls, that's service. When I work my program, I'm doing service to other people because I get to show that it works. When I get up here, when I really don't want to get up here, I'm doing service. So it doesn't really cost a whole lot of money. It doesn't take a whole lot of effort, although it does take some letting go of my own will. But I feel better after I do it, especially when people come up later and say thank you for your share. All of a sudden you're meeting people. When you move a chair and somebody else is moving a chair and you almost hit each other, you get to say hello so you know another person in program. So I encourage everybody to do as much or as little as you can do, because it
makes a difference in ways we don't know. When I pick up a phone and just say, my sponsor said I need to make 2 phone calls today, and I really don't know what I'm going to say to you, and the other person says, I really needed a call. I can't explain it, but you've done a lot. Anyhow, I think we're just about done, even though I didn't get beeped, so thank you very much.
I need you to sign that. Thank you. Okay. It's now time to close this session. I would like to thank those of you who gave service at this session and all of you for attending. After a moment of silence, please join hands as we close with the Serenity Prayer or the Third Step Prayer. We'll do the Third Step.
Coming back, it works. It's working as you're worth it.
Yay.